Box A and B, inserting an element into a list. In the last box of the previous slide, we talked about inserting a node at some arbitrary location in the list. We now show a sample implementation of this. We call the method insertAfter, and it takes two parameters. The first is a search key, which identifies the node after which we want to insert a new node. The second parameter is the data we want to insert. So the implementation has two steps. First, it searches the linked list for the key. Once the key is found, we implement the process outlined on the last slide, namely adjusting the previous and next pointers so as to insert the new data node. So let's go over the implementation. First, we check to see if the list is empty. If it is empty, then there does not exist a node to insert after. Thus, we simply return. If the list is empty and we want to insert the first node, we provide a different method called insertFirst, which is discussed in the main textbook. So, assuming that at least the first node exists, we copy a pointer to it into a variable called current. The idea is to search the linked list for the given key. This is done with a while loop, which says loop until we find it. Inside the while loop, we move the current pointer to the next node. This is how we traverse the list. So each loop cycle we update the current pointer so that it points to the next node in the list. However, it's possible that the given search key will not be found. In this case, we will reach the end of the list before finding it. Hence, we add a conditional statement inside the loop which tests whether we have reached the end of the list. If we did reach the end without finding the search key, we return false, which signifies that nothing was inserted. Now moving on to the code in box B. If we get this far, then we can assume that we found the node we want to insert after. Since we know we will be inserting something at this point, we go ahead and allocate the new node and initialize its data. Now there are two cases, the general case where we are inserting between two nodes, and the special case where we are actually inserting at the end of the list. We do the special case first. Note that at this point, the current pointer points to the node we want to insert after. So if current equals m last, then we are inserting after the last node. In this case, the node we are inserting will become the new last node. So we simply set the new node's next pointer to null and set it as the new last node. Then, if you skip past the if-else block of code, you see that we set the new node's previous pointer to the current pointer. Similarly, the current node's next pointer is set to point to the new node, which makes sense because we are inserting the new node after current. So the next node after current is the new node. Let me just reiterate what the current pointer is. It's a pointer to the node after which we are inserting the new node. If you study this with the pointer adjustments illustrated in box D of the previous slide, it should be clear. All we are doing in this second part are pointer adjustments to insert the new node into the list. If you conceptually understand what is going on, the code readily follows. Now we have another case. In this case, we are inserting between two nodes. To simplify the discussion, we will think of a linked list as a chain of nodes from left to right as depicted in box A of the previous slide. Then, when we wish to insert a node between two nodes, we are inserting the new node between a left-hand side node and a right-hand side node. Incidentally, the current pointer is the left-hand side node, since that is the node we are inserting after. So now in this case, the new node's next pointer needs to point to the current node's next pointer, which is the right-hand side node. In addition, the right-hand side node's previous pointer now needs to be adjusted to point to the new node. Finally, the last modifications are the same in the last case, and thus are outside the if-else block. The new node's previous pointer is the left-hand side node, and the left-hand side node's next pointer is adjusted to point to the new node. This completes the insertion. Box C, destroying the linked list. Because all the nodes of a linked list are allocated dynamically, we must traverse the list node by node and delete each element when we want to destroy the entire linked list. This is done in order to prevent memory leaks. The traversal pattern is similar to how we traverse the list when searching for the node to insert a node after. We get a pointer to the first node and then hop from one node to the next using the next pointer. However, because we are destroying the linked list nodes, For each iteration, we also delete the node after we have moved to the next node. The order in which operations occur here is important. Namely, we save a pointer to the current node before we hop to the next node. Then after we have hopped to the next node, we can delete the old current node. If we deleted the node before we hopped, we would have an error, since we would be accessing the next pointer of a deleted node, which is undefined. Box D, Linked List Observations. 1. Linked lists have fast arbitrary insertions and deletions. We observed that to insert or remove a node, all we must do is readjust some pointers. We do not need to shift a bunch of elements up or down like we do with arrays. 2. Linked lists are pretty fair at resizing. To resize a linked list, we have to allocate some dynamic memory and insert it into the list. However, there is no memory copying required as there is with arrays. On the other hand, inserting many nodes frequently will require a lot of memory allocations. 3. Linked lists have slow arbitrary node access when compared to arrays. To access an element in a linked list, we must traverse the list node by node until we come to it. With arrays, we only need to supply an index, and we can offset to that element immediately. 4. Linked lists, like arrays, have no inherent searching optimization properties.